scrambles left, winds up right behind. He's got time at the 10 to the 5. Yes! To the end zone. Touchdown. Darren Sproles gone. Touchdown, Eagles.
This is the Root NY Podcast, talking all things NFL. Now here's your hosts, Root NY.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Woot and Why. This is Josh Woot opening the show for a change.
Yes, and I am Josh Why, and it's a refreshing new intro. I like that.
You like that?
Yeah, no yo-yo-yo from me.
Yep.
No. It's always good.
Yeah, it's great. Mock drafts, drafts over.
Yes, I'm still marking those mock. There's a lot. There's a lot of them, and the point system we worked out. You know, it's fun. It makes it exciting, but it's quite difficult to mark them all. I feel like a school teacher marking school projects. So it's going to take me a little while.
Yeah.
So hopefully by next week when we podcast again, I'll announce the winner on live on air.
Yeah. There's some exciting guests lined up.
Yes, in the next few months, we're going to do a new series. Well, not a new series, but we're going to do a series of episodes this off-season, yep. While we wait for the season to kick off. I'm going to talk to a lot of Australians that are in the NFL and college football. So we've got some exciting guests lined up, some punters, some coaches, some analysts all coming on. So and one guy that works for an NFL franchise. So he'll actually be able to shed some light on the Dante Fowler injury that we're going to get to later in the news.
Yeah, which is...
It's devastating.
That's horrible news.
Yeah.
The next item on the agenda. It's been announced that Cadbury is coming out with a new block of chocolate.
Yes.
Vegemite.
Excited.
Vegemite is the secret ingredient in this. I wasn't going to do it, but now I kind of feel like I have to.
You want
to
do it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, grab an egg. All right, so basically...
So we're still using Easter chocolate.
Yeah, I've got a lot. I've got a lot left over.
Josh.
But I'm going to smear some Vegemite. Oh my God, there's a lot of this.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that much.
Oh, whatever. I love Vegemite. I'm a known Vegemite connoisseur. I often tweet about Vegemite. There you go, Woot. Give that a go.
By the way, this Vegemite absolutely stinks. Smells, I'm going really baby.
Smells like delicious gold. I imagine when we die and go to heaven, if heaven exists, that Vegemite will be
of course
the spread of choice of the great Lord. All right, you ready?
Oh, it looks and smells disgusting.
Perspective,
and I love Vegemite too.
Yeah,
but I'm kind of the guy that gets toast, lathers it with butter, and then sprinkles Vegemite on top.
I've got a little beef about Vegemite as well. It's stored in the cupboard, right?
Yes.
Because my girlfriend's family stores Vegemite in the fridge, and it's hard to spread already.
And then now why nearly put it to the frozen stage?
I don't know, it's so hard.
I know, however, I've had it cold before, and, you know, each to their own. Peanut butter, though, if that's in the fridge...
Get out.
You go back to...
Get out. Yeah. Yeah, you ready?
Let's Here do we it. Go.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's just weird.
But pretty good. I like it. Oh, salty.
Salt. Oh, God. There's the
hit me.
There's the Vegemite kick. It tastes sweet, and then, yeah. Anyway.
That's a satisfying blend.
Well done, Cadbury. However,
oh, Cadbury... I just realised how much Vegemite I put on my head. It's just hitting me.
All right. Cadbury, though, is coming out with... They've got caramel in there, so it's going to be slightly different. No, it'll be interesting.
Don't need the caramel.
Don't need it?
That's right.
Wow. All right.
I'm gonna have another one.
Josh White's very happy.
Hmm.
What's
coming up on the show besides us eating?
Oh, sorry.
Breakfast spreads with Easter
trying
eggs.
To get down that last chunk of Vegemite. NFL well, news.
It's time. I'm eating another egg, by the way. Vegemite.
It's in the mouth again. Wise loving it.
I'm loving it.
ESPN. During the week, announced that there could be a potential bowl game coming down under.
That's right.
So, so what? Why is struggling?
Even more on that.
So it's Pac-12, possibly
the Mountain West.
Mountain West Conference. That's amazing. That's crazy news. I think that's actually a good starting point.
Mm.
Very good start. It's probably better than actually coming straight down
with the NFL.
Would you rather a game that means nothing, or you know? I think. preseason or, you know, a college bowl game?
I'd love a college bowl game to start off with. I think it would just be awesome. You'd get the marching bands down there as well, create the atmosphere. You'd get the streets, like the fans coming down, following them, because they're crazy over there. They're so patriotic, but it'd be a good test for the NFL.
I know.
I think that would be a starting point to maybe getting the Pro Bowl down here.
Exactly.
And then from the Pro Bowl, maybe a regular season game.
Imagine just having the Pro Bowl down under every year.
That'd be sick. That'd be awesome. I can just picture Andrew Luck holding a koala.
A koala.
And then having his best bud, myself, next to him.
But
yeah, Brett McMurphy, college football reporter, said that Paul Sargeant, CEO of Melbourne Stadiums, is proposing to host a bowl game at Etihad Stadium next season. So he said, we're good to go for 2016. And then Craig Thompson, the Commissioner of Mountain West, said the necessities for a bowl game seem to be in place there, including a solid management team. And then Sargeant also said, we are deadly serious about a game in 2016. Yep, so we're deadly serious about making it happen in 2016. So great news.
That's terrific news. Especially, like, then the American fans will travel down under and they'll see, you know,
how cool Australia is.
How cool Australia is.
And everybody wins.
Everybody wins. And plus, you know, there'll be Contiki packages for them, etc.
Tiger Airways will win because we'll purchase budget airline tickets from Sydney to Melbourne. Yeah, exactly. Everybody's a winner.
I reckon we should just road trip and just meet everyone on the way. We should just get a huge camper van or something. And
Cool. We'll pick up. Or Luke can pick us up on the way, Mr. Charles. Yep. Who, by the way, is in Denver on a some sort of medicine internship, and he is working with the Denver Broncos. So he was seen partying with Monte Ball during the draft. That's pretty cool.
He's loving life in Colorado at the moment.
He is.
Okay. Moving on to
actual NFL news.
Actual NFL news, yeah. No Vegemite, no nothing. Sad news. The Jags are going to be without their number 3 overall pick this season. Dante Fowler sustained a season-ending torn ACL at Friday's rookie minicamp.
Yeah, we tweeted the video out taken by a fan in the stands, and it was not good. The knee just buckled straight underneath him, and that's a devastating blow. He played all, didn't miss a game in college, had no injury concerns at all. You can't. It's not bad drafting. It's just bad luck.
Yeah,
you feel for him
if you watch the video that we tweeted out. It's he kind of just, like, I don't know, goes rigid for a second, and then it just collapses from underneath him.
It's not good. It's and that was a pass rusher, outside pass rusher that they needed. They had a lot of sacks last year, surprisingly.
Yeah,
and with Fowler there, it would have been, you know, an absolute whitewash of sacks, especially against some of the offensive lines in the AFC South. All right, moving on. The Cowboys are still open to trading for Adrian Peterson, apparently. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones told KRLD-FM that he would consider trading the team's 2016 first rounder for, quote-unquote, the right player.
I've said it all along.
You have.
That I think Adrian Peterson will end up a Cowboy, but who knows? I mean,
maybe that's why they didn't draft a running back.
That's the speculation. I mean, it was odd them not taking a running back. And then also Minnesota, you know, Minnesota, they ran pretty well last year without...
But did they draft a... Let's have a look. I don't think they did draft a running back at all, so they don't have a
McKinnon
game plan.
McKinnon and Masiata. That's
the steam train.
The Polynesian steam train,
Masiata.
That is a fantasy headache, by the way, Minnesota. Is. But, they actually combined. They ran okay last year, those two, together.
It's interesting. Like, Cowboys, I wouldn't mind them doing that because they picked up Lael Collins, Randy Gregory, and Byron Jones. That's three first-round picks, and if you add Adrian Peterson...
And I look around, and I think we got a spicy team.
It's a spicy team, man.
Yeah.
That's a spicy team. Dez Bryant, Adrian Peterson, and Tony Romo.
Yeah, that's...
Gee whiz. It sounds like a fantasy team.
It does already.
All right, move on. The last bit of news, we left it last.
Yep.
We're not going to talk too much about it because we've got a chock-a-block full show because we're going to review all 32 teams' draft classes. Deflategate. The Ted Wells report, the 243-page report was released and found that you know, there was some sort of suspect ball play, I'll say that, involved in that Tom Brady was probably generally aware
more
of it. That's
probable
the,
than not generally aware.
That and people are saying that that's not very conclusive, but if you read the first footnote in the report, that is a standard of proof that they use in that report. It seems likely now, a lot of reporting out today that Tom Brady will be suspended. And look, and you don't have, you have to be naive to think that he wasn't involved. Ball boys don't act rogue on their own like that, yep. As much as they hate Tom Brady, evident by the text messages. So he's obviously involved. The question now is, how many games should he be suspended? And people are discussing what impact that has on such and such's legacy. There's some, it seems that everyone's on either the really harsh side of the fence or the really naive, you're all haters side. Everyone's doing it side of the fence.
Yeah.
I'd like to be in the middle. I think he should be suspended.
Yeah.
I don't know how long. I just think a fine isn't enough, because I would take a fine every year if it meant giving me an advantage to win a Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Not saying that they won because of that advantage. They smashed my Colts, and let's put that aside. It didn't affect the result, but that doesn't take away, you know, playing outside the rules. Yeah. That's cheating.
Yeah. I mean, Patriots are known, right? Ever since the Spygate thing happened, people say that they weren't punished for that. They were punished for that at the time.
They lost draft picks and things like that, but a lot of it was swept under the rug because it was a huge story and it really hurt the NFL.
Yeah. But then ever since that, they, you know, have been seen as that team that, you know, cheated. So, but you can't, all right, you can't punish, like, if it was someone else, if it was a Zach Mettenberger, this would not be a big issue.
No, it's only because they have runs on the board.
Yeah. Right, and also,
it was in the playoffs.
Exactly, but however, all right. So then, I'm trying to make a good comparison here. This is difficult.
It's tough. It's tough to speak on this issue without being labelled a hater, or you're on a witch hunt. You know, a lot of the responses are the whole world, the whole NFL is against the Patriots. A giant conspiracy theory. That's the usual.
However, right, if this was my player,
yeah.
I wouldn't want him suspended. Like anyone, no. Right? So anyone. If this was Luck and it was found out that Luck was like, hey man, just try to get this under the PSI,
yeah.
Right? You'd be like, ah.
Yeah. Exactly. I understand the Patriots supporting their hero. Tom Brady is, you know, New England's golden boy. He is their man. He's the jawline to the model wife to the ultra competitiveness. Just, he is their hero. So I understand. I would defend Andrew Luck, you know, to my grave on something like this. And I understand why they take that view. But if Andrew Luck did it, suspend him.
Yeah.
But he didn't. So there's no report on any other team.
People that are saying, all right, people that are coming out and flat out saying that it should be a year, you're stupid. Listen to a different podcast, right?
Yeah.
people, like, now it's coming out that they think 6 to 8 games, right? I reckon in the NFL's head, the correct suspension for this would be 2 to 4, right?
I'd say four,
then they'll appeal it. It'll be two.
Two, yeah.
Right?
I just think four is what you get for PEDs, which is
exactly
taking an advantage.
Exactly.
Same
and
thing.
People are saying, oh, they've been doing this for years, right? And yeah. It's like, half the season is away games, right? So that guy wouldn't have any control over that.
Yeah, he couldn't go into a bathroom.
Exactly, right? Super Bowl, they would have been inflated more than what Tom Brady likes.
They would have been really stringent on that.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Yeah, the Patriots wouldn't have had anything. And so, but then Brady came out and did what he did, right?
Yeah.
So that's it's. Yeah. No one's saying that they aren't good.
No,
it's like yeah.
It's not. We're not saying that they won because they deflated the football.
Exactly.
That's not.
Also, they say that the deflated footballs then help the running backs out a lot, right?
With
because
less
they don't
fumbles,
fumble
yeah.
and things like that. The teams, the best teams, right? The teams with the least amount of fumbles are all the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
They're the Packers.
That's why they're the best
exactly.
teams in the league, because they just handle
the
ball
with
and manage
most,
their turnovers.
The teams with the most fumbles are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Jets, over recent years, things like
yeah.
that. Plus, you know how Belichick acts when Ridley would,
oh,
were having
just
those
benched
fumbles.
Him.
Just done. You're off the team,
yeah,
pretty
yeah,
much.
That's right.
So,
it's interesting. For me, it's not like a huge story that everyone's making out of it, but it's not sweep it under the rug or they won anyway, they're up 28-0. You know, that doesn't take away from the fact that they cheated, and there's a credibility issue there. He didn't hand over his phone, he lied during a press conference. There's some shady business on a human level.
Yes.
About Tom Brady about this. And it makes you wonder what he's really like.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult because there's so many stories. I listen to the radio, right? And some people are like, you know, I've dealt with him. And, like, we've heard stories, like, personally from friends and things that know other people that have said, you know, he's not a nice person.
Mm.
And then you have people that, like, other people that come out on the radio and things like that and be like, I've known Tom Brady for, you know, decades. And they're just like, he's a terrific person. Yeah, so
it's just, everyone has a different opinion on a person because of their experience with that person.
Exactly.
So it's hard to take into account things like that. But, you know, reading those text messages, it portrays him as this really sort of douchey type guy, but then these are just two ball boys that are being bossed around the whole time. No wonder they're not going to speak.
Exactly. They're not going to speak glowingly of a guy that says, can you just get these balls pumped to the... No.
Or let the air out to the certain level.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway.
What was I going to say?
I think
one last thing. I don't think it affects his legacy at all.
Nah.
Legacy is a thing that is... Who defines what legacy is in the first place? Nah.
If you define legacy based only solely on rings, then that's fine. That's your view. I don't, because you need a whole team. There's 53 men in that roster. There's coaching staff. There's all sorts of factors that go into winning a championship.
Yep.
I don't think deflating a football in an AFC championship game and maybe a few other games, some of those text messages indicate that there might have been a few other games during the year. Before. But, you know, I actually think Spygate has a bigger dent on his legacy, but everyone's forgotten that, and it's forgotten now. So it doesn't impact that. So he's still one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
I still think Spygate was more Belichick than it was Brady.
Absolutely, but it benefited
the team,
the whole team, not exactly. Just Tom Brady. Look, I don't know why everyone gets wrapped up in legacy all the time. You know, is Deion Branch a better wide receiver than Calvin Johnson because he's got a Super Bowl MVP in a ring?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's just silly. He's still one of the greatest of all time, and when it comes down to picking who you think's the greatest of all time, it comes down to your own personal preference and opinion and how much you put into stuff.
When there was the whole issue of Jerry Rice coming out after he'd retired and said that he had Stickum on his glove, I don't think no one's still questioning that he is the greatest wide receiver ever. No. So
yeah, exactly. So it doesn't take a tarnish. For me, it's a credibility issue. It just makes me look at him a little bit differently, I guess. And if some people want to label him a cheater, then that's fine. But if people want to say no, that's fine. Like, it just all comes down to your opinion. And it's so... that's enough hot takes from us.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some draft reviewing.
It's showtime.
All right, let's start with... We're going to smash through this.
Yeah,
right,
sure are. We're
already 20 minutes in after Deflategate and Vegemite chocolate, which is one of my favorite things of all time.
What's your prediction? You think how many games?
I think... the Steelers are missing Le'Veon Bell, and that's the season opener. I think the NFL really want Tom Brady to play in the season opener, so I don't know. I definitely don't
think he'll play in the season opener.
I think maybe four games.
You know what? I say four games, and then they have the bye in week four.
Yep.
And then they play Indy.
Yep. First game back,
yep.
Tom Brady's FU game. Just going to absolutely it up.
So it's either gonna be he comes out and destroys, like, the Pats are ready for him and just destroys him. Do you know where it's being played?
Or
what? Do you know where it's being played?
In Lucas Oil.
It is?
Yeah. Or he's traded to the Browns and the Jimmy G steam train rolls on and the Patriots don't take a step back and Jimmy G is Boston's new hero.
Wow. All right,
the Atlanta Falcons, let's start with them. Great draft haul. I really liked bringing in Vic Beasley, one of my favorite pass rushers in the draft. Josh Liskowitz also mentioned him on our show as his number one overall player in the draft.
Yep.
Jalen Collins, we thought was a second round talent, pairs with Desmond Trufant. Tevin Coleman, love Tevin Coleman. Great running back, good duo with Devontae Freeman. And then they get a Harry Douglas replacement in Justin Hardy. He'll fill that number three role. Brilliantly, and then they get an absolute steal in Grady Jarrett in the fifth round, which is just nuts.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Originally, I thought there's only maybe seven elite corners. Then the more and more you look through the draft. Man, there was a lot.
There's a lot of corners. Yeah. So maybe they could have waited on corner and taken something else at 42, but for me, you've added three key aspects on defense. You've replaced Harry Douglas with a young speedster, and you got Grady Jarrett in the steal, and you address your run game. I'll give them a solid A plus.
Wow.
Yeah, I like
the
drive.
All right, can we just give it an A? Can we not do the plus thing?
All right, just an A.
It gives. Right.
Okay.
I'm not saying this is for every team. This
Fair enough. I also liked Akeem King, who they got in the seventh round, a really tall, athletic defensive back, which, I don't know, Dan Quinn might know a little bit about tall defensive backs from his time in Seattle.
Yep,
all right.
By the way, I can't wait to see what Dan Quinn does with the defense.
Yeah,
it's cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Vic Beasley, double-digit sacks this year, bold prediction.
Who was it?
Vic Beasley.
Double-digit?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I reckon he'll win Defensive Rookie Player of the Year, so there you go.
Ooh, okay.
New Orleans Saints started off with a weird pick in Andres Pete.
Mm-hmm.
I was really expecting a pass rush with the first pick.
So was I. I was expecting a Bud Dupree there.
Exactly. And that probably, I think, would have been better.
I still think that too.
Stephon Anthony. That was all right.
I thought that was a huge reach.
Huge reach, but then, you know, if there seems to be a player that they want.
Yeah.
So
that's fine. I just think, would I rather take Stephon Anthony at pick 31 or Paul Dawson at the end of the fourth, like Cincinnati did? Give me Paul Dawson.
Okay. Fair enough. I like that point. Haole Kakala? Kakala! That's just a nothing pick for me. You take your outside linebacker there, so that's weird. Then they go weird and go Garrett Grayson with the whole Drew Brees thing. We were discussing off air that quarterbacks are decent next year.
I just think there's five or six guys that I would take over Garrett Grayson if they enter the draft this year. I just prefer that personally.
And then PJ Williams in the fifth is probably their best pick.
That's a steal. Was it their fifth? No, it was their fifth pick.
Yeah.
Sorry.
My bad.
That's a steal there. He's got his DUI dismissed. Absolutely brilliant.
Yep. The rest to me is nothing. So I don't know.
Davis Tull is from Chattanooga. I like that pick.
Yeah?
I like that pick. I like that guy. I'd rather that player than Kakar. Kakara.
We'll say Haole Kakara.
All right.
D.
D. D. Jeez.
D for the Saints.
That's harsh. Yeah. I'd give him a C, but anyway.
All right. Andres Pete, he's a good player, but they had other.
Remember, he had the low floor, high ceiling. Like, there's a lot of. He could be an absolute bust.
Yeah.
Some had him as a first round. You know, first tackle on the board. Others had him in the second round. So it was a very mixed opinion on him.
Yeah.
Yep. But a lot of it was a lot of reaches. PJ Williams is a steal, but they wasted an early pick on Grayson, I think.
And do you think, where's the Jimmy Graham replacement?
I think they're going in-house for that. Yeah. They still didn't pick up any sort of wide receivers. They took Marcus
Murphy, the kick returner.
He's a kick returner. Yeah. Okay. D's fine. Carolina Panthers. How ironic was it that Thomas Davis announced basically the 2015 Thomas Davis pick for the Panthers when they took Shaq Thompson? I don't like that they didn't address offensive tackle until pick 102 in Darrell Williams. If you're going in with Michael Orr as your left tackle, I'm really worried about Cam Newton's life. I think he's going to absolutely get hammered. But Devin Funchess. It's like Kelvin Benjamin again. So they basically drafted two players that are already on their team. So I don't like that. I like Funchess as a player, but I would have liked a more underneath guy to compliment Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
like a Nelson Aguilar or something like that, but he was already obviously taken, but I think they could have got someone better at later rounds, maybe addressed...
Did you hear a bark?
Yeah, I did. the old Y pet family dog is agreeing with me. I'm going to give them a C.
I'm not sold on the Shaq Thompson pick. I'm not. It's like I like him as a player. I'm not sold on them selecting him.
It's not a bad trio when you have Shaq Thompson, Thomas Davis, and Luke Kuechly. But that's not a position of need for them. I would have rather them beef up the offensive line and give Cam Newton a chance to compete.
Fair enough. However, it's a bit of a mess draft. This is the old saying, is like, you don't draft for your needs, you draft for the call. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess. And that's the same with the Colts taking
on. Funchess, though, I like the Funchess pick. I like having the thought of having Funchess.
You know, sort of like a Twin Towers type.
Exactly. And then, you know, Olsen.
Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen is, you know.
Speaking of twins, the Olsen twins.
Wow. No, but you saw what, like, how effective it was in Tampa having those two huge wide receivers and things like that.
Well, it'll be more successful this year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. With an actual quarterback. What about that segue?
Number one pick went to Tampa Bay. It was always going to be.
That pick, you know? Nah.
Yeah. I really could have seen them taking a defensive.
I think they could have taken Garrett Grayson maybe in the third.
All right. No, great pick. I liked Donovan Smith as well. They needed a tackle. They just sat there.
Jake Fisher, though, I thought was a bit funny. But maybe they, you know, that's just maybe based on their board and their scouts, which is okay.
You know what, though? Originally, I thought Philadelphia could have taken Jake Fisher in the first round.
Yeah. Well, we had Fisher going in the first round and now.
However, then last minute before the draft, there was all this speculation coming out that Philly were going to take Donovan Smith. And I was like, oh, don't know about that. But the fact that Tampa Bay just sat tight and got him, that was great. Then they addressed their guard position and got Ali Marpet, who we both think is awesome, coming from Hobart. Is that right?
There's your future center, too.
Yeah, he'll there you go. You like Kenny Bell with their fifth pick?
Yeah, real speedy, fast wide receiver would be a good complement to the outside guys.
So there you go. You've got your big guys, you know, either running long or the short guys stretching the field. I reckon it's great. Yeah, so, ooh, grade. I'll give him an A. I think they did quite well. Their biggest needs is they needed that short underneath guy. And they got that in Kenny Bell.
Well, they needed a quarterback and an offensive line. Yep, and they addressed the inside and the outside. So they got some beef. It. Yeah. I reckon it's an A.
Yeah. They could have, you know, their defense still isn't great, though. So we'll see.
Oh, they've got pieces there. And love you, Smith. All right, we'll move on to the NFC North, and we'll start with the Minnesota Vikings, who I think had one of the best drafts in this entire class. I love what they did. Trey Waynes, you pair with Xavier Rhodes, two athletic, strong corners.
They've been drafting very well recent years.
Yeah, last 3 years, except for Matt Khalil. But, yeah, they have absolutely drafted, you know, very well.
Stellar.
Interstellar. Great movie.
Great movie.
All right, yeah, Trey Waynes, pair with Xavier Rhodes, great corners. Eric Kendricks, one of my favourite players in the entire draft class. Mike Zimmer loves linebackers and corners, and he went there early. And now you've got Kendricks with Anthony Barr, Trey Waynes, and Xavier Rhodes. That's a, you know, great,
yeah, no,
you know, centrepiece of your defence, along with Sharif Floyd in the middle there. Then you get Danielle Hunter, very raw, but I think if someone can turn him into a elite pass rusher,
I think with the Mike Zimmer. With the right coaching, that... that could be a really good pick.
He should have stayed in college, I think, one more year to develop. But maybe getting TJ Clemmings in the fourth round is an absolute steal. The concerns over the foot, obviously, you know, responsible for the slide. But it's been reported today that he may start from day one. So he seems to be fine. I like the Stephon Diggs pick. I know a lot of people wanted them to go wide receiver early with Devontae Parker and pair him with Teddy Bridgewater, his old teammate. But Diggs is a solid guy. I like that pick. And the rest of the guys, we talked to Dane Brugler about Edmund Robinson, nice pass rusher, so he did get drafted. So the first guy from Newbury, drafted in a long time, got drafted. I know you didn't want me to give him a plus, but I'm giving him an A plus.
Detroit Lions. They the name that sticks out to me straight away is Amir
Abdullah. It's a head scratcher on the pick.
Yeah, no.
They got Theo Riddick.
Yeah, exactly. So we know they got rid of Reggie Bush, but, you know. We'll go back to their first pick, Laken Tomlinson.
That guy's studying to be like a doctor or something. He's incredibly smart.
He's a very nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a very nice guy. He's already,
you know. A favourite of yours?
A favourite of mine, just by the interview alone. So
he's so articulate, man.
He is.
Yeah.
Alex Carter, cornerback.
Not a huge
there
fan.
There was better options, I feel. Yeah. Quandre Diggs, I feel that was...
like, that's a pretty good value there.
Value, that was quite good.
I liked Gabe Wright too. He was rhyming of Nick Fairley. Yeah? So they replaced him.
Well, they're becoming more athletic on, like... they're becoming more athletic on the offensive line, so... and then I think they're going for a different philosophy on the defensive line now too, with... with since getting rid of Sue and Fairley and
bringing in Nagata and now Wright.
Exactly. So
Mir Abdullah pick is like bizarre because Joik Bell is a solid guy. They signed him on a 4-year deal last year, and then they have Theo Riddick there. I know it's just a death, but I would have gone with more of a replacement for Joik Bell if anything, not a smaller sort of Darren Sproles type player.
Yeah, and it's quite like, okay, no one's doubting Abdullah's talent, but it's like, did they need him that bad that they had to draft a running back in the second round? Mm,
especially in a deep class.
Especially when there's all these other teams that, you know, overlooked that running back that were so much more running back needy in the second round. I feel like I'm giving out low grades, but...
It's just the way it's fallen.
I know. Probably a C for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, it's just like a... It's not an outstanding draft. Tomlinson's a good get, but the rest of the class, maybe not. All right, the Chicago Bears. I feel like I'm getting all the teams that drafted quite well. Kevin White slots in immediately for Brandon Marshall. Solid player. Just a great guy. His interviews were awesome, and he pumped up the Chicago crowd there, the hometown draft. So that was interesting. Eddie Goldman in the second, good value. I didn't like him as a first-round pick, so to get him in the second was great value. They needed a nose tackle. I think Grasu was excellent value in the third round, and he'll be the long-term answer at center. And Jeremy Langford, not a bad compliment to Matt Forte, even though they have Jaquizz Rodgers and Kadeem Carey, a lot of apostrophe name running backs.
How do you think Kevin White comes on straight away?
I think eventually, by the end of the year, it'll be like nothing's changed. It'll be a split in targets.
It'll be back to like the Marshall
Jeffrey
split.
Yeah, I think Jeffrey will get a lot of the targets early on, but I guess as that trust and rapport develops, and Jeffrey's seeing the number one corners, I think he'll look to Kevin White.
I still think Alshon Jeffrey is such a talent.
Oh, I love Jeffrey. He's love just Jeffrey. So good. Love Jeffrey. But, yeah, I think it was a rock-solid draft for the new GM, Ryan Pace. I'll give him a B. B plus.
Yeah. B plus.
Nah, just it's a high B, not a low B.
I'll give Detroit a B plus plus. I mean, a C plus plus. There you go.
Green
Which
Bay.
Is essentially a B.
Yeah.
Yeah, Green Bay. Demarius Randall. First safety taken off the board, which was unexpected.
That was a surprise.
It was a surprise maybe up until draft day when I think it was Mike Mayock started saying that he was going to be the first safety taken
and
off the board.
I think I'm not a huge Matt Miller fan, but he was saying that for a while too, actually. So, their money was right.
There you go. So, he's nearly the opposite to what Landon Collins was. Landon Collins is. Landon Collins was a real like
in the box
box stuffer, and the concerns of his coverage skills was what was putting a lot of teams off because, you know, it's just not up to the par of some of these other ones. But then he's such a good like run stopper and things like that.
Hmm.
I like that pick. I mean, especially if you know things are.
I'm not a huge fan. I think it was a massive reach.
Really?
Justice Mosquito, the Bleacher Report analysis, he was posting a lot of Vine videos of Randall because he's a Green Bay supporter.
Yeah.
And a lot of inconsistency. Like, when he was on, like, covering someone, he was awesome, but there was a lot of bad, like, misreads, and someone was just wide open. Like Tim Tebow could have hit someone with time.
Well, I don't know about that.
So he misread a lot of plays. But I think maybe with the right coaching, that stuff might be out of the game. I liked the Quentin Rollins pick in the second, though.
Yeah, they were addressing their needs.
Mm.
Their offense is always going to carry them. So,
that's
that's fine. Brett Hundley, go there for a second.
Yeah.
Our tweet made the NFL Network, which is... maybe we needed to put one comma in the actual tweet.
I ran out of room. I ran out of characters.
She had to stop halfway through it and was like,
really?
Yeah.
I didn't see her announce it. Someone told us. I was tweeting, live tweeting the draft on the iPad watching ESPN, not NFL Network. So I do apologize, Miss Colleen Wolf, because I'm a huge fan. And just a little spoiler.
I was talking
about having her on the show.
Wow. I was I was watching on the NFL Network, and I was up at that hour, and yet I was just on my laptop, not paying attention to what happened on the screen.
Yeah.
Then all of us, and then all of a sudden, like, wait. And then we ended up going back, and there's our bloody tweet,
yeah,
which was pretty impressive.
Where would you like to have put the comma? Because I'll read the tweet out right now, and yeah. you just yell comma, right?
Yeah.
Brett Hutley is joining the Green Bay Packers, full stop. Hope he likes the cold, because he'll be sitting in it, learning from the best for a while. What's
hang
wrong
on.
With that?
Hang on, yeah.
Come on.
All right.
By the way, limited characters. No, sometimes you have to sacrifice grammar and punctuation.
That's fine. Fact. We understand this. Maybe she's just,
Don't back out, Colin.
I said, not A. She's not okay. A something, yeah. No, maybe she was just, you know, it's hard turning around, reading it,
yeah, that's
looking
true.
Back at the camera. No, Brett Hundley is joining the Green Bay Packers. This is how she read it. She went, hope he likes the cold because he will be sitting in it, learning from the best. For a while, like that. So it was kind of like, it was just broken up the way
okay,
she...
Okay, that's cool.
No,
Look, she'd been doing that for like, how many hours straight?
And, yeah, for like 3 days, so, or whatever.
She literally did not move from that chair.
Yeah, no,
but she also correctly pronounced Owamagbe Odigizua, so...
Zikizik, ah.
Yeah, that's
great. Final grade for the Packers. All the other picks are just like, you know, let's see what happens, I feel. Especially,
like, well, Hundley's
when you,
like...
When you draft a fullback, right, and you also draft a tight end last round, it just means, like, let's see what happens.
Especially, we don't have many holes. Let's just...
Yeah, let's just have a go. Just draft. You know what? They'd be a... I think they'd just be a normal C, but because they're the Packers, they get a B. Because they can do that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I think it's exactly the same as how New England draft.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right, we'll move on to the... We are not doing well for time. The NFC... We're not even out of the NFC yet.
We're going to smash it. Ready?
Let's speed through it. All right, the Washington Redskins. Very meat and potatoes draft. I'll say that. Taking Scherf over Leonard Williams. We'll look through that through a microscope. But you got to acknowledge Scott McLuhan's track record when he drafts. He knows what he's doing and has, you know, has had success. So Scherf was immediate need. Will play right tackle, apparently. Preston Smith in the second round. Loved the pick. I thought they reached on Matt Jones, but the rest of their picks, not too bad. Jamison Crowder, Martell Spate. It's not a bad draft, but I think it's taking Washington in the right direction. So I'll give them a B for their draft. And I think Washington should be relieved that Scott McLuhan has control in the draft room for the future, because their last couple of drafts have been very, very poor.
Yeah, we've got to see how RG3 bounces back. That'll be interesting.
Well, Scherf, this is it. This is the year now. Scherf's there. They've got some extra protection. They need... This is it now. This is do or die.
You know,
they're not picking up his fifth year option. Or no, they are.
Who, for?
RG3, yeah. Apparently. So, yeah.
We'll see what happens. New York Giants. Eric Flowers. Don't like it.
Bit of a reach.
Yeah. I just don't think he's a tackle. I just don't think he's a tackle.
I don't mind him as a right tackle, but a right tackle at pick 9, but then again, Washington just took a right tackle at pick 5, so it's...
Can I just say, Brandon Scherf...
compared to Flowers, exactly. Yeah, huge. One's more polished.
Eric Flowers, no. Landon Collins, reach?
You think it's a reach? You weren't a huge Collins fan, were you?
No, I don't...
It doesn't help the coverage game.
Exactly, that's all. One of their biggest problems.
Yeah.
Oh, Odigizua.
Great pick.
Great pick. There you go. Value. Especially round 3. Just nice. Let's try to pronounce his name.
Well,
McKelly? Michael.
it's pronounced like Michael, apparently, but it's spelt weird. Apparently, not many people knew who he was. He was Dane Brugler's 78th ranked safety, and he went in the fourth round. Not 78th ranked player, 78th ranked safety.
Yeah.
And he went...
So
in the round, in
I've
in
seen a lot of people though give the Giants a really good grade.
Yeah, when I'm looking at that now, I'm thinking maybe not. I'd say a D.
I'll probably give them a C for the fact that, you know, tackle and safety were needs, and they got players are high name players and that are good players. Yeah. However,
they might have just reached a little bit for them. Yep, that's cool. All right, Dallas Cowboys, you've got to be happy with this draft now. You've basically got 3 first round picks. In Byron Jones, Randy Gregory, and Lael Collins. Collins joined yesterday in quite an emotional press conference. I advise many people to watch it. Shows you a little bit about the man behind all the speculation. Byron Jones, we love, hugely athletic, great corner. The tape matches the combine. People think he's just drafted on the combine, which is completely nuts. And Gregory, well, Brugler told us that they got to a point where they just stopped testing. So if he can turn his life around, and turn it around, that's
plus
a good
pick. Plus, the cameras will be on him in Dallas.
Yeah, well, they already reported this morning that he pulled out of training, which was clickbait by the NFL, because a lot of players pulled out because they'll dehydrate. It's very warm day there. So a lot of the team finished training early. A great pick that I like, and an under-the-radar pick, pick 243 in the draft, Lawrence Gibson out of Virginia Tech, offensive tackle. Shane P. Hallam mentioned him as one of his favorite sleepers at the tackle position, so I like that pick. I don't like that they didn't pick a running back. I'm not sold, but as you said, maybe Peterson trades on the agenda. Ryan Williams is rumored to be in pretty good form. I'll give him a B, only because they didn't address the running back position. Otherwise, I'd give him a solid
A. Give him a B+, because...
Yeah. All right, last pick of that division, your beloved Philadelphia Eagles.
Didn't know where they were going. It's Nelson Aguilar. Wide receiver out of USC. He's always going to be seen as the guy that isn't Marcus Mariota.
Yes.
So
poor guy.
There's that against his name.
Start throwing that pigskin, Nelson.
However, Philly brought him in a number of times. They obviously like him.
Yep.
He's quick, runs precise routes. I said he had to save his hands in the draft. I love that pick. It was the normal, safe, good pick that you should have.
You weren't expecting from Chip Kelly, though.
Yeah, exactly. Eric Rowe traded up to get Eric Rowe. They traded 2 5th rounders and their second rounder for Eric Rowe. I love it.
I love Eric Rowe.
Yeah, I think he's great.
Tall, rangy corner. Play safety as well.
Kelly said that he's going to try him out at corner first and then see how it goes. Jordan Hicks ended up being my favorite drafted player by the Philadelphia Eagles.
Really?
The more tape and things you watch of him, he's just
the injury history was.
It is. That's just the concern. But Kelly doesn't really have an issue with injuries. He just thinks, you know what, we'll be able to fix this, kind of thing. He's kind of a captain on defense, as has been said, and D'Amico Ryans is, you know, probably on his last year.
Legs too. How many injuries has that guy had?
Exactly. So who knows? Jordan Hicks could come straight in. Plus the whole Michael Kendricks thing. Don't know what's happening with that.
Yeah. Well,
so
half your team was on the training block.
Exactly.
Great and team harmony.
Yeah. Our last two Kansas and Kansas State corners. People are like, oh, the Kansas corner that you picked up.
That's which one?
Both of them. Yeah. Exactly. They're both. Tall, speedy corners, which is pretty much what Kelly likes. And Brian Mahalik is a huge, huge man. He's a 6'9", I think. He's insane. He's just a giant. That'll be interesting to see how he goes. They'll try him out, you know. If not, it's a 7th round pick.
That's right.
Exactly.
What are you giving your Philadelphia Eagles, Mr.
A B.
A B.
A B. They drafted,
solid draft.
They drafted safe, which was unexpected, but yeah.
Yep. All right, we'll move on to the NFC West, and we'll start with the Arizona Cardinals. Taking DJ Humphreys at pick 24 was fantastic. Preferred him over Eric Flowers, so you know, to get him at 24. I thought Marcus Golden was a reach, even though I really love that guy, one of my favorite players in the draft. I just like him. I like his work ethic and what he's about. And shout out to Rhonda Golden, who kept favoring my tweets about Marcus Golden. Yeah, she's a proud mum. David Johnson, another favourite player. Me and Bruce Arians are on the same wavelength.
Stay golden, pony boy.
Did really well. David Johnson, great pickup. And then Shaq Riddick, defensive. And he's a quote-unquote force player. I don't know if anyone knows much about that. But force players, I recommend Googling it. He met the criteria. So they have a great success rate in the NFL. So I like that pick, and I like their draft. I like what they did. David Johnson's gonna compete for a starting
job.
I think he's a great runner, big, powerful guy, opposite to Andre Ellington, who still will have a huge role in that passing game. I'm giving them an A.
I love Andre Ellington.
Oh, so do I. But David, that's a really good spaghetti and meatball combination.
God, this potato and mash. I mean,
a lot of food puns today, guys. I haven't had breakfast.
Anyway, St. Louis Rams dropped a bombshell and drafted Todd Gurley with that button's worn out. With the 10th overall pick, which was, you know, quite a surprising thing considering.
That's probably the one shock from round one. Would you agree? Well, we were at the brew house. That got a huge reaction.
I was expecting him to, you know, if there was going to be a shock, I was expecting him to kind of go to the Atlanta Falcons. However, you know, he didn't. He ended up at the Rams. Yeah. Then Zach Stacy comes out and said, yikes.
Yes, that was a great tweet.
To be treated.
That was hilarious. Traded.
Where did he end up?
Jets,
that's right. Okay, yeah. Cutting through the draft because we're trying to save time. Sean Mannion. Mannion? That's how you say it, right?
Mannion.
Quarterback?
Yeah.
In case the whole Foles thing goes bust.
Yep.
The fact that they... I just don't...
drafted a lot of offensive linemen.
They did. However, they're...
Stacks.
The wide receiver situation in St. Louis still to me is like...
Got Brian Quick returning, Kenny Britt, Tavon Austin, Stedman Bailey. They're not anything to do a backflip over.
Don't you think they could have just drafted some... Especially with Kenny Britt never... Yeah,
I like Havenstein in the second, but maybe instead of taking Jamon Brown, who Josh Norris called an undrafted free agent, in the third, they could have taken a wide receiver.
Yeah, so there you go. Todd Gurley could possibly be one of the running backs that, you know, is around for years and years and years. So on that, B.
All right. Seattle Seahawks, interesting draft, traded a lot of picks, but, you know, they didn't have many holes, so they didn't need to draft 12 players. But they did trade a lot of picks up to get Tyler Lockett, another small wide receiver, but he's one of the best route runners outside probably Nelson Aguilar in the draft. Really great slot receiver. Frank Clark, their first pick's under huge scrutiny right now, which makes that a really troubling pick. And the last lot of picks were, you know, tackles and guards, which fill a huge need. Not guys we're hugely aware of, but Seattle do this all the time. And look, it's not an outstanding draft. If Frank Clark doesn't pan out, it could get ugly. But Tyler Lockett, Terry Poole, and Mark Glanowski are enough to give them a B. And Obum Chakwam. Not a bad defensive end either, so I'll give them a solid B.
49ers. Let's just start by they drafted a running back, so Haynes' opportunity is just out the window.
Well, it was already out the window, but anyway.
Okay, they traded...
As a running back, anyway.
They traded down with the Chargers and still got Arik Armstead, who most people predicted he was going to go there, I think.
Yeah.
Jaquiski Tartt?
Yeah, he was top of Josh Buchanan's big board.
Yeah, so yeah, that was a decent pickup. They still got Arik Armstead. Then they got Eli Harold, who many were high on, as an edge rusher. He's not elite speed kind of thing, I don't find.
No, he was Daniel Jeremiah loved him.
Yeah.
I wasn't too keen on him, but Daniel Jeremiah is the expert. So,
I mean, Eli Harrell could have went in the second. Yeah.
DJ had him in the first, so that was interesting.
So there you go. Blake Bell, Vernon Davis is getting on, plus he's had some down years recently.
Yeah. Blake Bell is an ex-quarterback, but he's an interesting guy.
I find people that have been converted from, like, quarterbacks generally have, you know, not that bad of a transition to other...
Well, because they're smart.
Yeah, exactly. Then they drafted the running back, Mike Davis, that we said. To me, that's... I don't know. Carlos Hyde is the guy.
Yeah.
Is the guy.
Oh, they're just adding depth, I think.
I know, but I don't know. The rest...
Well, you've got Reggie Bush and Kendall Hunter both coming off injury seasons.
Yeah?
Yeah. I love Smelter.
Smelter?
His blocking game. Oh, my God. Colin Kaepernick's going to love that.
That block game?
No, for a wide receiver, he's like Hines Ward-like in his blocking game. And he's the best blocking wide receiver in the NFL.
Hot takes.
No.
B.
All right, it's time to get into the AFC. Let's do it. The Oakland Raiders, love the Amari Cooper pick. Absolutely hate the Mario Edwards pick. That was a huge reach, not a massive fan. I don't understand the love for Mario Edwards at all. Clive Walford is a good pick. And one of my favorite picks in the draft by any team is Ben Heaney from Kansas. Pretty much made every single tackle for Kansas last year. I love him. He's a great pick. I like their draft. Neron Ball is another good linebacker as well. I'm going to give them a B.
A B?
Yep.
Dan from Broncos got Shane Ray.
Yep.
After sliding and sliding and sliding and sliding.
Imagine that. Shane Ray, Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware.
I know. That's crazy. Then they finally addressed their tackle guard situation with Ty Sambrello, who...
You're a fan of?
Yeah, I'm a fan of. They also addressed the center position, which was, you know, a position of need with Max Garcia.
He's good.
He is.
I like him.
They, how do we say this? Simeon?
Remember the old phone company? Simon? Siemens?
Siemens or something like that, yeah. Wow. No. Anyway, yeah. I reckon just because of the two picks alone, they're going to be.
Jeff Hyman's good tight end too. Great zone blocking tight end. Gary Kubiak, you know, focuses on the tight end a lot, so I like that.
Yep.
I like that pick. San Diego Chargers, very small draft class, but trading up for Melvin Gordon was, I don't know if they needed to, but I think there might have been whispers of someone trying to leapfrog them, so they leapfrogged that team. So Melvin Gordon's great. He's going to start immediately, be a third, you know, three-down running back, bell cow. He's great. You know my opinion on him as a Wisconsin Badgers fan.
He's the number one rookie. Fantasy running back.
Oh, absolutely. Rookie.
Rookie.
Yes. Just settle now.
I just wanted to do this reaction before I...
Denzel Perryman, I like him as a player, but I don't... You know, they have a lot of linebackers, so it's a bit... You know, I just don't understand. Manti Te'o's girlfriend, they got a lot of players in that position. Craig Mager is a very physical corner. And Kyle Emanuel, I really like. Small school guy, outside linebacker. Has a very high motor, sort of similar to Davis Tull. I like the Melvin Gordon pick and the Kyle Emanuel pick. It's enough to give me a solid B. But I mean, I love Melvin Court. I love that pick.
Kansas City Chiefs, probably this. I think the steal of the first round, getting Marcus Peters at 18.
Can Andy Reid handle him? Yeah. You know a lot about Reid from his days at Philly.
Well, you... All right. Now all the... since Kelly's, you know, apparently a racist and has gotten rid of all the you know... The good black players.
Can't emphasize
the good black the word players, apparently. As Shady put it so lightly.
Yes. Very lightly. Well done, yeah. Shady.
Now you've seen the personalities that these players had, and, you know,
yeah.
Reid seemed to handle it fine. Yeah, so, that's true. Marcus Peters, I think, is a great pick, especially considering the talent that everyone knows mm-hmm. is there. Mitch Morse, that's okay. They needed to address the offensive line, so they did it. Chris Conley, I think, is great. He's
really
huge.
I think the opposite of that.
Really?
Yeah, he's a... I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the value there. I liked other wide receivers.
I really thought... I really thought Philadelphia was going to draft an offensive lineman or a defensive back in the first round, and then they were going to get Chris Conley in the third.
Yeah.
Because Philadelphia brought him in multiple times as well. Steven Nelson.
I love that. I love the Nelson pick more than the Conley pick. Steven Nelson, Dane Brugler, remember, said it. He was one of his favorite players in the draft. Really physical guy, not a tall guy, but plays like he's the biggest man on the field. I like that pick.
Then I feel like after you get past the fourth, it just becomes like... It
becomes quite blurry. There's a couple of names that stand out. But
yeah, but yeah.
It's not a bad draft. It's a very Kansas City draft. Nothing to get you really excited about, but nothing you sort of scoff at and you're like, oh, yeah,
exactly.
That was crap.
I'll give him a B.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, time to get into my division, and we'll start with the Houston Texans. Very defensive-heavy draft to start with Kevin Johnson and Bernardrick McKinney. Obviously, they're prepping to face Andrew Luck twice a year, and that's, you know, I don't know if that's smart drafting because you need to worry about everyone that you play, not just one opponent, and that's the Colts did that when they drafted as well. I'll get to that later. Everyone seems to be focused on them trying to beat the Patriots instead of just thinking long term. So Kevin Johnson, I really like, one of my favorite corners in the draft, so I like that pick. The rest of their draft, I'm not really a huge fan on at all. McKinney, I'm not really... I didn't understand the hype with him. And Jalen Strong, I can't separate. And when you have Ryan Mallett as your quarterback, you need to thread the needle to Jalen Strong or go up for contested passes. It's dangerous to me.
It's not like he is part of a system either that just gets wide receivers really open. So
absolutely. like, it's third round, and people saw him as a first-round talent. I didn't. I think the third round's his landing spot, but I think that's not the best fit for Strong. But anyway, and he got number 11 on his jersey because he was the 11th wide receiver taken. So you think he's determined?
Already.
Him and 7,000 other players that should have got taken a pick higher have a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
So I'll give him a C.
Okay, the Jags. Texans heat. Assuming that Fowler is healthy.
Can we... Yeah.
Okay, Dante Fowler, I think, you know, good pick. A lot of people wanted Leonard Williams, but, you know, Dante Fowler, pass rush is what they needed.
Yeah, they had send Derek Marks.
Exactly, and Fowler is still really, like, quite raw, so, you know, he can...
he would have been correct able to coaching, develop.
Especially by Gus Bradley.
Yeah, he'll know the playbook.
Inside out by the time he's,
by the time he comes back.
TJ Yeldon, I like. You don't like?
No, not... I thought that was a reach.
All right, but see, this is the thing. All right,
I thought they had a really great draft, but I just like, and TJ Yeldon's gonna contribute, and they got lucky that Cam fell to them the next round. Yeah. But I would have preferred them to go the other way around and taken like a Jake Fisher, and then got maybe a Tevin Coleman in round three.
Okay, yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
No, that's fine. Yeah. However, you know, if they like TJ Yeldon as well as an organization, you go get the guy you
want.
That's
fine.
I've
just read scouting reports that, you know, he's closer more to Trent Richardson than Mark Ingram in terms of Alabama running backs.
Okay.
So I still think Denard Robinson's going to see a lot of
Both can agree that AJ Cann's great. James Sample, terrific. Yeah. Rashad Greene, he just kept sliding. Yeah. He's not just the product of Winston.
No.
So, yeah.
Good player.
Michael Bennett, defensive tackle. How the hell did he last all the way to there? I don't
know. Like, there's ticks on every one of those picks. Maybe exactly. A question mark at Yeldon, but... You know, getting Cam the next round sort of mitigates them reaching for Yeldon.
Yep, and then, you know, the last couple of wide receivers and tight ends, which, you know, they've still been looking for a tight end since, yeah. So that's an A for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep.
The Colts, head-scratching pick at Philip Dorsett. I didn't like it at first. I've watched tape on him constantly. I like the pick. I think long-term, look, everyone thinks, oh, we need to be... New England, but that's only for like a year or two more once Belichick and Brady are gone. Andrew Luck will be the biggest superpower in the AFC. There's no one else. Maybe Flacco and John Harbaugh up there together can beat Luck, but man, if you've got Philip Dorsett, T.Y. Hilton, and Andre Johnson running at you, that's going to be hard for defenses to defend. And when you look at the New England Patriots, they've lost a lot of their secondary with Darrell Revis and Brandon Brown are leaving. So I don't mind the pick.
The future of the AFC looks bleak.
It does. It honestly does. It with Manning and Brady gone, Ben Roethlisberger's getting on. You've got Flacco, Andrew Luck.
That's it.
Ryan Tannehill. It's not really anything exciting.
No.
So long term, you got Dorsett and Hilton. There's a lot of conjecture over Hilton maybe a bit upset with the pick, and he may want out, or they may not re-sign him, which I'm not buying into at all. Hilton's great. Dorsett's great.
So they're not going to re-sign who?
Hilton at the end of the year, okay. Which I don't understand. You got Jerron Carter there as well. So long term, I think they're set at wide receiver. I like Jajon Smith. I didn't know much about him, but I've watched a bit of tape and done some reading. Sort of a ball hawk. He'll compete with Greg Toler. Henry Anderson's my favorite pick. One of my favorite picks in the draft. I really love him. When someone gets compared to J.J. Watt by Pro Football Focus, you get excited. So I like the pick. Clayton Gathers, David Parry, Josh Robinson, and even Denzel Good, the seventh-round pick from Mars Hill. Mark Mayock didn't even hear about him.
No.
Yeah, so he released some tape of his workout and things like that. He's a big dude, big mauler. He should have played for Norfolk State, but he got held back from academic reasons, which he's fixed up. So I like the pick. I like the draft. I'll give him a solid B.
Cool.
Yeah.
Tennessee Titans, here we go.
This is a good draft haul too. The AFC South on the up.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota. Finally, they get their some excitement in Tennessee.
Yeah, they're not the Titans anymore.
No,
around the NFL. Not.
So that obviously, I love that guy. I love the guy. They didn't give in. They didn't trade.
No, stood strong.
Yep. Second pick, Dorial Green-Beckham has the potential to be an absolute superstar.
Yeah.
If everything else, you know, is controlled. And
You think Marcus Mariota's the right quarterback to keep him in check? Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know where you were going with that.
No, I'm saying, like, that's... There's no off the field concerns with Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, no, exactly. He's kind of like the
He leads by example.
He leads by example. The big family guy. You know, never in the media really, except highlights.
Yeah. or winning Heisman's.
Exactly. Jeremiah Putasi. That was also like a solid pick, especially considering that he was, you know, people had him going in the second round and things. I really like David Cobb. I thought it was interesting though that they went fullback running back. That was a Titans move. I like David Cobb.
Fowler can play though. The fullback, he can play.
Yeah.
David Cobb, Bishop Sankey, see you later, champion.
Yeah.
David Cobb could absolutely beat you by day one.
Yep. And the fact that they ended up getting Andy Gaelic as a centre that late on and
Trey McBride. We've talked about. Who did he get compared to? Pierre Garçon.
Exactly. So it's amazing. They also get an A for me.
Stay golden, pony.
Who would have thought the Jags and the Titans get A's?
It's a weird world that we live in 2015. It's a weird world that we live in. All right, the Buffalo Bills. And Rex Ryan loves corners. It's weird. And he takes Ronald Darby. I'm not impressed with that pick. I'm not a huge Darby fan. The first tape I watched of Philip Dorsett, first two catches, he absolutely burnt and destroyed Ronald Darby, who, coincidentally, we play in week one. So just put Dorsett on Ronald Darby and we're good. John Miller I really like. Carlos Williams, yeah, not too bad. And Nick O'Leary from Florida State, not a bad selection. Desmond Lewis, but not overly exciting. It's more of a pick. I'm going to give him a D. I'm not a huge fan of that, but their roster's already complete. There wasn't that many holes. They could have maybe taken a quarterback.
Yeah.
Bryce Petty, maybe.
New England Patriots. Shockingly, they didn't draft a quarterback to replace Brady in the first round after this whole scandal.
They should have prepared for that. Malcolm
Brown fell to them at 32. Amazing. That's just...
How did 31 other teams let that happen?
Yep. Jordan Richards, that was kind of not, everyone's just like, but it's the Patriots, so it's an A move.
Is it?
Trey Flowers later on, not too bad. In our mock draft, we had Trey Jackson going to the New England Patriots in the first round.
First round or second round?
No, I think it was the first.
Uh-huh. Really? No, I thought we had him in the second.
Really?
I'll check. Keep check. Going.
I drafted him to the New England Patriots way earlier than that. Got him so late is terrific.
Same with Shaq Mason, who he's a quietly quiet.
He's quietly quiet.
That was well done.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Quietly a favorite sleeper among draft picks, and Trey Jackson went in the top of the last pick in round two. You had them taking Marcus Peters in round nine.
Yeah,
in our mock.
Anyway. And he went way earlier. Yeah.
What grade are you giving them?
I'll give them a B. Yep. For the solid fact that Malcolm Brown slid so far. They've still got Trey Jackson. That
offensive line though,
and also they just the sheer number of picks gives you more chances to actually hit a home run.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that was the concern with Seattle, I thought. They traded away a lot of their picks because they didn't need them, but I thought you could hit on some of those that you've traded away. All right, the Miami Dolphins. I love Devontae Parker. That's going to be a great trio or a quartet with Jordan Cameron, Kenny Stills, and Jarvis Landry. Love that.
Also, Devontae Parker, I know he's competing with Greg Jennings and Kenny Stills, etc., except he is the tallest wide receiver on their roster by 3 inches.
Is he? Yeah. He's going to start immediately.
So he will become the guy.
He's awesome. He's up there with Cooper and White, in my opinion. I really like him. Jordan Phillips, very raw, huge guy, but like you just plug him in the middle to eat space and let Ndamukong Suh do his business. Jameel Douglas, unfortunately, will have to block against Jordan Phillips and Ndamukong Suh in camp. But, you know, you can't argue with them trying to beef up their interior. Ryan Tannehill sacked 105 times in 2 years, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Bobby McCain, not bad. Don't mind that. Jay Ajayi was a steal. There's concerns long-term, but, man, how many running backs in the NFL have a career longer than 5 years anyway? So he can come in immediately and be the pepper to Lamar Miller's salt.
No more. No.
Fantastic. I'll give them a C+. No, B. B-. Done.
All right. How does Leonard Williams, Muhammad Wilkinson? Yeah. And, Jesus, I'm drawing a blank.
Sheldon Richardson,
thank you.
This is the Patriots and Dolphins and Jets right now.
Oh, my God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone?
Stay calm!
You have those three running at you every single day with Todd Bowles blitzing.
Yeah, exactly. So that's terrifying.
I love that.
I love the pick, especially because it's like, you know, all right, we may need a wide receiver. We may need, you know, to fill other holes. However, you know, it's like this guy's the best on the board. So,
so very often Jets get some luck like that.
Yeah.
So to have him just fall on their lap, it was great for Big Mac.
Yep. Devin Smith. Okay. I mean, most of the wide receivers with, you know, incredible talent had already been off the board. Like we said before, that Jalen Strong can't separate. And, you know, if Geno Smith is your quarterback, you've got to have separation.
That's right.
Pro Football Focus
said that he was a better deep threat than Dorsett and that we should have taken Dorsett. So, I don't know. But if they're high on him like that, that must be for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't access their CFS stats, but, you know, they're high on him.
Yep. Bryce Petty, what do you reckon? You reckon he overtakes Geno?
Nah, I think it's a long-term thing. But, like, if Geno plays like he did last year for half the year and then Fitzpatrick comes in and they're not doing too well, maybe he sees the last couple of games. But I think by week, you know, 14 or 15, they're competing for a playoff spot. So I don't think they'll need to use him. I like Mollorden in the third, too.
Yeah, no.
Pass rusher.
Considering, I just feel like the Leonard Williams pick alone gets him a B.
Yeah, I'd even give him a B+. I like Deion Simon as well. He's compared to Dontari Poe. So
solid.
All right, last division. We're smashing through this. I'll start with the Baltimore Ravens. Look, they needed to get bodies on offense, and they added Perryman and Max Williams. I think they might start off slow this year on offense, but by the end of the year, these two will be contributors regularly. Carl Davis is a great replacement for Haloti Ngata. Not as good, but it will develop. Za'Darius Smith is basically Pernell McPhee. They just drafted the exact same guy again, so that's great.
Yay.
And Javorius Allen is essentially Bernard Pierce. Bernard Pierce was his player comparison in draft guides that I read. So they've just replaced two people they lost. And Nick Boyle. Great name. Nick Boyle. Solid name. Yeah, not a bad tight end. I think Dennis Pitta's days might be done. I think his hip concerns and injuries might be the end of him. So solid tight end too. And Darren Waller from Georgia Tech, huge body, just needs to work on his route running and separation skills. But I think maybe in year two you might see some contribution from him. But we hired, you know, Ozzie Newsome always drafts well, and I'm going to give them an A for their draft.
Yeah, no. Fair enough.
Yep.
That's fine. Giving out A grades left, right, and centre now.
Yeah.
It's been a decent draft. Only a couple.
A lot of teams didn't do dumb stuff. Like, yeah. There's a couple of dumb picks, but, like, apart from maybe Buffalo taking a couple in a row, there wasn't many that did, like, back-to-back.
Who did I give a D to?
You gave a D to...
Who did I give the D to?
The Saints.
You gave the D to the Saints. anyway. Okay. Danny Shelton. Danny Shelton. Good pick. Yep. Browns.
By the way. Browns. Go Cleveland.
Florida State. Cameron Irving. Good pick. Nate Orchard. Good pick. Running back Duke Johnson.
They're adding a lot of great ingredients inside their sandwich right now. I love food puns.
Well, isn't that?
I like Duke Johnson.
Johnson? No,
how many running backs do you need now? It's so crowded in there now.
I know.
From a fantasy perspective, it's doing my head in.
Who are they going to get rid of?
I don't know, they got Isaiah Crowell, Terrence West, and now Duke Johnson. Tate's gone, so they'll have those three, but it's, you know, it's like a lucky dip.
Yep, JBA Cooper. I feel that, like, because they didn't get... I really thought they were going to get Malcolm Brown.
Mm.
I really did, but they, you know, they let him slide all the way to New England. But that was good.
But they took Shelton, so...
Exactly.
You'd rather Shelton than Malcolm Brown.
Yeah.
Campbell's awesome safety.
Yeah, no, see, Campbell's a good safety, and then, you know, Vince Mayo is just, you know... I essentially think it's just a swing to see if they hit a home run. Charles Gaines, I find that was good. And then, all the way down...
Last pick.
Ifo Ekpo.
Alomu.
Ifo Ekpo Alomu. Pick 241.
They reckon he's healthy, so I don't know. What we the were hearing hell? Rumors. I don't know. Cashed in too.
Yeah. And $3 million yeah, insurance. I know, that was great. The fact that they got him so late with people, you know, predicting him as a first round pick at one stage, amazing. So that's
also this morning I saw a couple of tweets from Browns beat writers. Hayes Pulliard, their second last pick, apparently making plays on the field in training camps. So right. Yeah, really good draft.
Well, Cleveland really Browns good draft.
All right, my last team. Andrew Whitworth dead. Cincinnati to draft his replacement. And what did Cincinnati do? They drafted two. Awesome.
Poor Andrew.
So Cedric Ogbui goes, and then apparently he'll start the season on the PUP list. Some knee concerns, but that's okay. Long-term left tackle. And Jake Fisher can play guard as well. So they've beefed up their offensive line. They've added Tyler Croft. So there you go. Two tight ends named Tyler. Tyler Eifert there.
Yeah.
There you go. The Tyler twins. Paul Dawson, I love that pick at 99. That's
Tyler twins was bad. That was a bad thing.
Josh Shaw, they added at corner, who can play safety as well. And then Deron Smith, they got at 197 from Fresno State. Yeah, not a bad pick at all. I'll give them a solid B. Just a very Cincinnati draft. Nothing too exciting, just a...
I think most things...
Solid regular season, but they'll bow out again in round one in the playoffs.
Lucky last, Pittsburgh Steelers. Brewhouse was full of the Steelers boys, Dave and Tim and etc. Bud Dupree. They were quite happy with that pick.
They were. They were up in the air. They were making it Blaine.
Did
they?
Blaine is over. Oh, man. Shouldn't have done that.
That's I'm sorry. Great. Sorry, guys.
Pronounce his name for me.
Senquez Goldson. Oh, I did it. Oh, God. I'm really terrible with names.
Yep. What do you reckon?
Yeah, not a huge fan. Very small, undersized guy. They need to get big at corner. They got a lot of small players. A lot of guys that Breshad Perryman will be able to just leap over.
I feel like AJ Green they're going the same as they're kind of just going that Ike Taylor build.
He was a solid guy, but nothing else.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought Doran Grant, their other corner, was a better pick in the fourth.
Yeah, and I don't even mind Sammy Coates, so that's fine.
I don't understand that pick, but it wasn't an immediate need. I think they should have started maybe four defensive players, but that's okay.
Maybe they feel like, you know, when you're just drafting defense, you're like, are we really looking at
him? Yeah, he's a very raw guy. He's a wide receiver that can't catch, so that concerns me.
I'm not a... when people say they're raw, I just feel like, you know, take a swing. If they have the correct coaching, they could turn out to be a home run. So a lot of baseball analogy in this football podcast.
There's a lot.
Yeah, no.
What grade are we giving the old Steelers?
A B.
Yeah. The Bud Dupree pick saves them. Yeah.
There you go.
B for Bud. By the way, funny occurrence at our King Street Brewhouse before we get Matthew Bungard on the line for What's Your Flavor. He was also there at the brewhouse with us. Someone handed us their mock draft competition form before we went in.
This is
and
great.
He had Bud Dupree going somewhere else, a pick to the Steelers.
Yeah.
Then he had Alvin Dupree.
About 10 picks in between. It's very funny.
Oh man, it was so funny.
But to his credit,
he took it on the chin. Good on Mark. We applaud you, mate.
Mark's
all right,
it's doing good things with the
Sydney NFL supporters group. Yeah, it was good. There wasn't as many there as we would have hoped, but it's hard on a Friday, and it's not quite the Super Bowl.
The weather has been...
It
was a miserable day.
We took our scuba set with us.
We did.
Yeah. All right, let's get Matt on the line for... What's your flavour? Tell me what's your flavour. What's your flavour? Tell me what's your flavor. What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor. All right, joining us on the line, as always, for What's Your Flavor is Matt Bungard. We're an hour and 16 minutes in, and we gave your Baltimore Ravens a solid A on our draft grade. So we spent a lot of time on that, and so we're going to smash through this. So we're doing top five fast food franchises. Josh, how did we define fast food franchises?
If you can find them in a food court or they have a drive through, they are definitely a fast food
thing. All right, so kick us off with number five, Mr. Bungard.
Yeah, well, this one might alienate your foreign listeners somewhat, but number five for me is Red Rooster.
Ugh.
Josh White doesn't like that decision.
Nah, not a huge fan.
What's wrong, Josh?
You're just always empty in there. But I guess that's kind of a good thing because...
Sorry, is your negative that it takes less time to get your food?
No, it's just... If not many people like it, then I worry about it. You know what I mean? Like, if you go in a restaurant and it's empty, you worry about it. There's red flags there for me.
That's a good point, but they have all of these locations of nationwide.
Of course it's a red flag.
Oh, well, it's Red Rooster.
Number five, I also had Red Rooster. Australian classic. Especially when you can go in there and they have, you know, give you a quarter chicken and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that noise? Where are you? Are you in an industrial steel factory?
No, we're just driving on a road.
Oh, it sounds like you're blowtorching something. Can you hear that?
What are you building, Matt?
I don't know. Okay, we'll continue. So I'll take a blowtorch to Red Rooster and I'll go number five for me is a Hungry Jack's.
Hungry Jack's? Okay.
Onion rings, unlimited refills on drinks. That's solid five for me.
I mean, it was a coin flip for me for number five between those two, but the unlimited drinks is a huge selling point.
It's a massive selling point, and I appreciate that. Number four, I'm going to go with McDonald's.
McDonald's?
Yeah, I love McDonald's, but I just love these other three so much more. So if I was just judging it on breakfast, McDonald's would be high. I like McDonald's breakfast.
This is an argument for another time. The argument between breakfast and lunch menus at McDonald's, but this in itself is blasphemy from you. Number four, way too low. Number four for me is Subway.
What? That's too low.
It's the world's biggest fast food franchise.
Yes.
That is true. That is accurate.
Yes, we discussed this on the way home from the brew house.
I have Domino's.
Ooh.
Domino's. Not Pizza Hut. Domino's.
Controversial.
Yeah, no, I just...
Remember 5 minutes before we came on air and we agreed that pizza places didn't count? I remember that.
Really?
Great time.
That's fine.
Great memories.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're okay.
I will side with Wood on this in that Domino's has clearly gotten far better than Pizza Hut in the last few years.
Pizza Hut's pizzas are terrible, but Pizza Hut's garlic awful. Bread is good.
Yeah, no.
I remember one night, my girlfriend was out of town, and I ordered the Doritos crust pizza, and I've never hated myself anymore.
They managed to stuff up adding Doritos to something, which is...
You would have thought that wasn't possible, and yet, here we are.
All right, number four for... Have you gone number four, Mr. Bunga?
Yes, I said Subway, and you got upset.
Yeah, we did too. Oh. All right, so we'll move on to number three then, Mr. Bunga.
Number three for me is a Porto.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot about a Porto.
Oh, my God.
Where's the siren? Siren yourself.
Right, I'm going to change my number five to a Porto from Hungry Jack. But anyway,
And I've just wiped out Domino's and put a Porto. There
all right, we're good. Oh, my God.
What's wrong with all of you? How did you forget a Porto?
I don't know. Brilliant. Sometimes you just got to go a Porto.
Now, a Porto overall has probably the tastiest food, but as you all know, variety and... availability are also key in determining which is the best.
Absolutely.
So while Porto is very good, it is a little bit more expensive than the ones that I put above it. They don't have as much variety in their products, and there's not as many Porto restaurants around.
Exactly. I love it. I love the Oprego sauce. However, one thing that I kind of get a little bit teed off with is if I order a large meal, the chips to me just aren't large enough.
There are not that many, but if you order a large meal, you do get three gigantic chicken patties on your burger. So
that's true.
Yeah, that's true.
That's awesome.
That is great.
All right, number three.
We need more restaurants where the system is, the bigger the meal you get, the more meat patties they put on it.
I can't believe that's not a national, worldwide system. I don't understand that. All right, number three for me is KFC.
Yeah, I can agree with you here.
Yeah, I love KFC while I'm eating it. 20 minutes afterwards, I regret it immediately.
Has that knocked it down a couple of spots?
Yeah, it does. on taste and in the moment alone, it would be number one because it tastes so damn delicious while you're eating it. But then just the aftermath of it is not fun.
popcorn chicken is just incredible to me.
Am I the only one that doesn't get sick after they eat KFC?
Probably. Probably.
Yeah. So many people say this to me, and I've never had this feeling of shame and sickness after eating it.
Yeah, no, I feel shame and sickness.
Maybe Joshua just overeats it and he goes, yep.
No, because he's not the first person to say this to me either.
Yeah.
No?
No, it's...
No.
It's
everyone... I thought it was because he orders a variety bucket every time.
Oh, get By the way, if coleslaw wasn't available at KFC, I'd probably put it at spot higher. But anyway.
Yeah.
Not a huge fan of the coleslaw.
No.
Death to coleslaw, I agree.
However, pasta salad, amazing.
Yeah, switch it with pasta salad. Yeah. Why don't they put that in? Number three for you, Mr. Bunga. Number two.
You're all over the shop.
Number two, sorry. Sorry.
Mate.
I know.
Number two for me, we just drove past one, and that is KFC for me.
Oh, okay. So you don't get sick at all.
Now, the reasons it's above Apollo is, again, one, it's more readily available, and two, and much more importantly, you can get Mountain Dew there.
Oh.
Yeah. And the variety is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the
Mountain Dew Energizer now.
I know.
It's the same. People claiming they can taste the difference because it has more caffeine in it. Now, that is, of course, nonsense.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Tastes exact same.
Exactly.
It does. I've had multiple people come to me and go, oh, I liked the old Mountain Dew, but now they changed it to the Energizer. I don't really like it anymore. And I'm like, it tastes exactly the same.
Yeah, they just added more sugar caffeine. To the caffeine.
Yeah.
Tastes the exact same.
If people are now claiming they can taste caffeine in things, then...
That's the world we live in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number two for me is Subway. Roughly twice a week, I mean, probably have Subway.
Oh.
It's across the road from my work. It's readily available. Like Matt said, it's everywhere.
It is everywhere.
It's bloody everywhere. The fact that they just had a Mexican chicken one.
Hmm.
Quite like that.
Quality. Okay.
Quite like that. You can, plus, you know, even if you're completely full and you're walking past a Subway bakery and you smell that Subway
bread. That is true.
I am just drawn to it. Even if I'm completely bloated, I would still be like, damn, I could go Subway
right now. All right, my number two is a little bit controversial, and I know Matt's not going to agree with it as being fast food, but I believe it's fast food, and that's Guzman Y Gomez, the Mexican food place. It is popping up everywhere. You can line up and order, and you're in and out in 5 minutes. It's essentially takeaway food. So... What's he saying? Is he ordering fast food
Are you ordering fast food right now?
Sorry, no. We're stopping at Vitamin King, so I go for and can buy some supplements.
Ooh.
All right, well, why don't you stop by Guzman Gomez. I don't know how you pronounce it properly, but which is a common theme in this show. The pork chipotle burrito is king. It is the best. It is so good. Every Sunday night after basketball, I earn the right to eat a pork chipotle burrito, and that's what I do.
Now, the only reason I find this selection controversial, Joshua, and I love Guzman and Gomez.
Yes.
I have it most Mondays.
Yes.
But there's just not that many of them.
Yeah. There's enough for me.
This is the only thing I object to.
Okay. That's fine. They're
slowly increasing. Yeah. However, they're still very, you know.
There's way too many Mad Maxes out there for.
Mad Max is rubbish.
Yeah, it is. Yep. All right. Number one now. Drum roll, please, Mr. Bungard. Is he there?
No, he's taking.
Yes.
He's taking.
Oh, I thought I was.
What's your number one?
Could be anything else. The GOAT, the original McDonald's is the best fast food chain.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's not a hot take. It's not a controversial pick.
All right. Here's mine. Right. I also agree with Matt, right?
Bam.
Wow.
Bam.
I'm so out of touch with the common
McDonald's
man.
McDonald's is the number one friend. You know what? I probably would have knocked it down a few pegs. However, I had it 2 days ago, and I don't have McDonald's very often, right? However, this whole new Create a Burger thing, you seen this?
Genius.
That's just put it over the top. I haven't done it yet, but man.
I walked in there and thought, this, you know, could be really, it could be a dud, it could be stupid.
Did you go with Liv?
I did.
I saw the photo she put up on Instagram. That burger looked delicious.
I went with my girlfriend. We ordered on the screen. We paid on the screen. We didn't have to pay at the counter, anything like that. Then they print out a ticket. You put it on your table. Then they bring it out on a wooden platter for you. The chips are still in the little deep fryer thing.
And plus, I hate that.
It's...
Have you seen that Twitter account, We Want Plates? It's the best Twitter account on the internet. It's just photos of restaurants that are serving
just getting lazy.
Like meal, burgers and stuff in ridiculous vessels.
Well, anyway, it looks great, and you know, plus the burger's made how you like it. One interesting thing though, from when you create a burger, you can have it in two different kinds of buns, or you can get it wrapped in lettuce leaves.
What? That's like In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger, exactly, which is called the
Animal Style, isn't it?
No, Animal Style was the sauce, the protein was, having protein it wrapped style. In lettuce leaves. So I had it wrapped in lettuce leaves. Yeah. It was
cool.
It was okay. I recommend...
It's a responsible low-carb option.
Exactly. I recommend trying it. However, you know, don't get too many soggy options.
Yeah.
Like, I had pineapple, beetroot, bacon. Oh, it was amazing.
What, beetroot and bacon? Oh, man, I'm going there today.
Yeah.
All right, my number one is Subway. And I'll just say this. The combinations are endless. That's all I'll say. Every day you could go there and order something different.
Yeah, but there's no fries.
Yeah, but you don't need fries.
Okay.
You can have cookies and yogurt, man. You have cookies. And they have unlimited drinks, too, if you eat in.
You're making a lot of sense.
I am.
One thing, though.
I just feel like McDonald's variety just cannot be trumped.
Yeah, that's true. But I have Subway probably four times a week, so...
Now, the argument between McDonald's breakfast and their normal menu is a whole different thing.
Okay, we might...
Which you are clearly on the wrong side of.
We'll say... Look, I'm...
Sorry, you don't like...
I think the people that think McDonald's breakfast is better than a normal McDonald's are insane.
Sorry, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not on. But
the reason that is because Monopoly have just such a monopoly. McDonald's have a monopoly over the breakfast menu because nowhere else you can get good breakfast things. Whereas for lunch, you can easily get KFC or
Josh,
Hungry Jack's.
I used to work there. Like all of the breakfast items can be easily bought at the supermarket.
Yeah, but you don't. Go to a fast food place.
No, but this is my point. Like, anyone that says that they prefer breakfast to normal menu, like, you can't deep fry your own McDonald's nuggets at home. You can make a bacon and egg McMuffin.
Yeah, you can, but you go in a fast food place because you don't want to do that.
Well, anyway, discussion
for a
different day.
We'll leave that. That's a good issue.
The
worst one. What's your worst bottom one? What's the worst fast food franchise?
This is an easy one for me. Overpriced. Not tasty, and that is Nando's.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah?
Yep, across the board for me. Are you going to...
Yeah, no,
across the board, Nando's. So last time we're on, we agreed Peri Peri Crust Pizza, number one, and this time we agree that Nando's is rubbish.
Yep. Overpriced, it takes forever to come out, and you can...
It's overpriced a Porto, and if you get a large, you don't get extra patties on it. Or extra bits of chicken. And that's stuff you can cook at home. It's just essentially grilled chicken.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. That's cool.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Muddy.
See you guys.
We'll see you next week. We might have you on next week to do the Rumble. You announced you're going to answer questions on Joe Flacco.
Joseph Vincent Flacco from Audubon, New Jersey. I'll be there.
Well, thanks for giving away clues.
Goes away the middle name question.
We're not going to ask you that now.
No, I do.
You've just What's decreased your chance
middle
of...
Name? Yeah, Peace you better out. Learn his whole family, Matt.
You better start studying, buddy.
See you, Matt.
See ya, buddy.
See you, guys.
What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor. What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor.
What's your flavor?
What's your flavor? Tell me what's your flavor.
All right, this is essentially the longest show we've ever had in our life.
Yeah, we need to...
wrap this up.
Yep.
That's the show for today. We'll be back in a few weeks. Maybe next week. I don't know. We're going to work out that Aussie series. I'll have those mock drafts and competition graded, and we'll announce the winner.
The Deflategate resolution will be handed down.
We might wait till the suspension's handed down before we go on air next. An old-fashioned standoff. What do you say? Happy Mother's Day to everyone out there.
Yeah.
All the mothers.
I love you, Mom.
And single dads who are playing both the mother and father role.
Oh, yes.
Well done, guys.
Good shout.
Yeah, that was great. All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at JYNFL.
I'm at Josh Woot.
You can follow us on Twitter as well, at WootNY. We're on Facebook, The Woot and Why Show. We're on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher. And we are on Instagram now, at NFL Podcast. And you can buy our shirts
yes,
on redbubble.com.
Peace out.
Bye.